أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيد الممجد، بشير المصدق، المصطفى الأمجد، محمود الأحمد، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على الظالمين من الأولين والآخرين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Awaited Savior of Humanity, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, my respected teachers, elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whom amongst us wouldn't want to have a ma'soom in our house? Whom amongst us would not want to live with the presence of an immaculate personality such that they ensure that the house reverberates with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala across the entirety of our existence to the heavens itself. From the perspective of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalat and their riwayat, they have told us that we can actually live with that very blessing within our own house as long as we understand how to make use of that particular blessing, such that if we name our children after Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and raise them in that way, the malaika themselves will glorify our household just by virtue of us having named our children after the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in particular Muhammadin al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alih and Lady Fatima al-Zahra salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha. Imagine having a daughter and naming her Fatima, and what that means in the reality of a metaphysical realm, a realm that we cannot see, but the way in which the malaika are blessing a household just because we have a daughter named Fatima inside our house. This is mentioned within the books of Ahadith, which we'll talk about shortly. From the perspective of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you will see throughout all of them, according to our narrations, one by one, they name their daughters Fatima. Even if they have more than one daughter, they still name a second or a third or more by the name of Fatima. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam is narrated to have had two daughters in his house by the name of Fatima. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam had at least one daughter in his household by the name of Fatima. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam had a daughter by the name of Fatima. Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Ridha, and Imam al-Jawad alayhim as-salam, according to the ahadith, all had daughters by the name Fatima. In fact, our seventh holy Imam, Musa al-Kadhim, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'in, had four daughters by the name of Fatima. Four daughters. Normally, if we are blessed with, say, two daughters or more in our family, we will name, for example, one of them Fatima, and then we will name a second one differently in order to distinguish between the two daughters, right? The seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is the opposite. They actually continuously name their daughter Fatima. So there is the eldest, then there would be the middle, there would be the younger, and then there would be the fourth daughter. The eldest of the four daughters of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is whom? Lady Fatima al-Jalila al-Ma'suma al-Qum salawatullah wa salamu alayhima. The secrets behind this are well documented within the ahadith. And I want to be able to point to one or two narrations and one aspect within one of the narrations that is very powerful, very deep, in not only influencing us to keep this name Fatima, but the depth of it and the meaning. And I don't mean simply by the linguistic meaning of the name Fatima, but actually what this designates for a person, not only the individual, but the entirety of the family unit as well. This naming and upholding of the right of the name of Fatima in our households actually can change destiny and bring about a great faraj for you and I when we go back into the Quran and the ahadith and pair the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this one matter. Hence, the title of our discussion tonight is Raising a Million Fatimas. Because if we understand the blessing of this one name, and I don't just mean simply the blessing such as the malaika, blessing mine in your household, this is a tremendous blessing, but actually going further into the application of that blessing such that it can change the reality of the world itself, it would help us when we walk out of this majlis to rethink the way in which we behave with our daughters, the way in which we raise our daughters, the way in which we think about the vision for ourselves and our daughters. This is the discussion tonight, inshallah, in honor of Her Eminence Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha. When someone is blessed enough to be able to name their daughter Fatima, firstly, as we know, this is a name that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says in that famous narration that with Allah there are nine names of Lady Fatima alayhi salam. The first is Fatima, and then of course we have these several other beautiful names and characteristics. She is a Siddiqa, she is a Tahira, and so on and so forth. The first of these names is Fatima. The idea behind naming this daughter Fatima, your or mine, or encouraging someone to name their daughter as Fatima, is because in the names that are given from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, these names are supposed to remind us and encompass the ideals of wilaya as well as tabarra against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the enemies of the day as well. That these names encompass with them something particularly deep and special, and by naming them, every time we say them, we are supposed to remember that story. We are supposed to remember the ideal that that name holds. That happens in the apparent world with our minds, with our hearts. The ahadith go further. It mentions that by virtue of the name that you name your child, this can either be a means for the shayateen to congregate around us or to flee from us, depending on the very name that we give to a person within our households. Think about this. We have a challenge today, and I have seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears, and many of you will testify. Sometimes we are thinking about what to name a child. We might ask our friends, the baby is due soon, inshallah. You say, what do we name a child? Today, for many, children have become accessories. It's something to Instagram, right? It's something to gain followers by. It's something to have a cool name, a unique name. Sometimes when scrolling through Muslim Instagram, you might see that these pages that talk about unique names, these names have little or no meaning attached to them, no genuine depth to the meaning of those names. They sound cool, they're very unique, you probably won't find a second person with that name, but there's no value to them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have given a series of narrations that if we utilize the names of Allah, of the Prophet, of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, these are means to attracting specific blessings, even that the shayateen disperse the moment you even say that name and you call your own son or your own daughter. It could be on the phone, it could be calling them down for dinner, but the remembrance of that name holds within it the realities of wilaya and the realities of tabarra and the realities of the unseen realm that you and I may never truly be able to fathom and appreciate unless Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam actually tell us and explain it to us. One narration comes to us from our fifth holy Imam Muhammad al-Baqir salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. Hadith comes to us from Jabir. It doesn't say which Jabir. Is it Jabir al-Ju'fi? Is it doesn't say if it's Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. The hadith says Jabir. And it says that Jabir had a young son and was spending time with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam until he asked him, or he said to him in the conversation, "What is your name?" The young son of Jabir asks Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, "What is your name?" And he says to him, "My name is Muhammad." At this point, the hadith says, فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو جَعْفَرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَقَدْ احْتَذَرْتَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ احْتِذَارًا شَدِيدًا. I have protected you, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is saying to this young child, I have protected you from shaytan in a most excellent, shadeed way. I have protected you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. لَقَدْ احْتَذَرْتَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ احْتِذَارًا شَدِيدًا. I've protected you in a very strong way. Imagine, child must be thinking, why would you be protecting me from shaytan just by me asking you your name? Imam says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ إِذَا سَمِعَ مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي يَا مُحَمَّدٌ أو يا علي ذاب كما يذوب الرصاص حتى إذا سمع مناديا ينادي باسم عدو من أعدائنا اهتزا واختالا. Imam says that just when a person calls out and says Ya Muhammad or Ya Ali, just by saying the names Muhammad and Ali, shaytan melts away like a metal melts away, and he doesn't return, or when he hears the name of one of our enemies from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, then shaytan becomes excited and encouraged to be able to create mischief with that person. Think about that. How many names of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam unfortunately are taken as normal today? Yazid, Muawiyah, these names and many others are taken as normal. The hadith says that just by someone saying Ya Fulan, whatever that name is, shaitan becomes excited because of that name. He knows that name lives, that name exists, that name continues on, it inspires, it leads. And so it is easy for him to be able to rejuvenate the evil that comes off the back of the mention of that name. Whereas just by the names of like Muhammad and Fatima and Ali and Hassan and Hussein and Zainab, all the way to all of the rest of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, just by you calling them, shaitan flees and melts away because of the remembrance of names like Fatima, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha. There's something special about this name. No wonder it wasn't just simply wanting to remember Lady Fatima alayhi salam. Why each member of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam named their daughters Fatima one and again and again and again? But because there is something spiritual within this name that we and you cannot fathom is occurring in the unseen realms of the ghaib. This is one narration. Another narration is the one I want to focus on as the means to enter into the main discussion tonight, inshallah. And what you'll find is, Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam have encouraged us that we actually work hard and strive to find a name that suits the child and to find a goal that we can gift to the child in advance of their birth, in accordance with the challenges of the time. It's very important. Listen to the summary, and then we'll go into the ahadith and the ayat that point to this matter. Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam have told us specifically, we should actually search and work hard to find suitable names for our children. So what does that mean? A Google search? Surely it means something a little bit more than scrolling through names on a website. Yes, of course, that's a means to open the thinking, isn't it? But that's not what's being asked of us. What's being asked of us in the riwayat from Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam is to think deeply about a name that suits a particular person and the goal that you want for that person to have within their life. What do you want them to be in this world? And you'll find within the ayat of the Quran that it was the sunnah of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look deeply into the context of the times in which they live in and think about asking for a child that can respond to those challenges, that can lead in the context of the challenges that are today and also the ones that are coming tomorrow. I'll show you this from the ahadith and the ayat. But think about this question. Let us say you are blessed with a child, inshallah, in 1 year's time, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. May Allah grant you many, many Fatimas, many Alis, and many beautiful children. Think about this. What would you want that child to lead the ummah in? Ahsan, follower of the imam. Specifically, what area of life would you want them to lead, to bring about a change in society, a betterment in society? What is it that's going on right now that you want your child to help the imam of the time in overcoming that facade, overcoming that fitna, overcoming that naqs that is present within the community? What is that thing that you could dedicate them spiritually, gift to them as a conscious goal for them to be able to achieve? What if I tell you in a few minutes, I will show you from the Quran, that is the sunnah of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In advance of bringing a child into this world, to actually see the challenge of the time and say, oh Allah, I want a child, not for me, but for you. I want a child that is not an accessory. It's not someone that I'm going to dress like me, and because I never made it as a professional footballer, I'm going to, you know, live vicariously through my child and make sure that they... No, there is a particular objective that is occurring in this time that I want my child to become a successful means of achieving and overcoming. I'll show you this in the Quran in a few minutes, inshallah. This is what our ahadith and ayat demonstrate to us in the Quran. When we're trying to raise a million Fatimas, the first right is to be able to give them that name. Another right, as mentioned in the Quran, a spiritual right, is to give them that direction as to what you want them to be able to achieve in their lifetime, specifically for the coming of the Imam or Allah's work or the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith, if you want to be able to read to you, comes from our sixth holy Imam, Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. From the companion Anis Sukuni. Sukuni is a very famous, accepted companion and has given to us a plethora of traditions from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Anis Sukuni, qala, dakhaltu ala Abi Abdullah alayhi salam wa ana maghmumun makrubun. I visited Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and I was aggrieved. I was sad, distressed at the time of visiting Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. فَقَالَ لِي يَا سُكُونِي إِمَّا غَمَّكُ. What is troubling you so much? قُلْتُ وُلِدَتْ لِي إِبْنَ. A daughter was born to me. استغفر الله. Until today, we still have this attitude that if a daughter is born to someone, many, many people, they carry with them a weight as if that this is something bad or negative or wrong, or they were hoping for a son. Subhanallah, Ahlul Bayt alayhim wa sallam, it should be significant enough to show you that the surviving child of the Prophet was whom? Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha. That this was such a blessing for him, such as the ayat of Surah Al-Kawthar indicates towards. Nevertheless, وَلِدَتْ لِي إِبْنَ. A daughter was born to me, he complains, or he's sad about. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam responds, يَا سُكُونِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ ثَقْلُهَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا تَعِيشُ فِي غَيْرِ أَجْلِ. Oh Sukuni, don't you realize that the earth is actually going to provide her with all the difficult things, the heavy things, not you? And upon Allah is her rizq, not upon you. You won't have to do anything. What are you stressing for? Why are you upset that you had a daughter? You think this is going to be something tough for you now this way? No, Allah is going to give the rizq. تَعِيشُ فِي غَيْرِ أَجْلِ. And actually, her life, it's not going to come from any part of your life at all. There's not going to be any shortcoming in your life, in your rizq at all whatsoever. وَتَأْكُلُ مِنْ غَيْرِ رِزْقِكَ. And actually, whenever she eats, it's not even going to be taken out of your own rizq. There's no shortfall. Sukuni responds, وَاللَّهِ, I became happy when I heard this. This elated me, this responded to my gham and my ham and the difficulties that I were having regarding having a female, a daughter. فَقَالَ لِي مَا سَمَّيْتَهَا. Imam asked Sukuni, what did you name your daughter? قُلْتُ فَاطِمَة. I named her Fatima. قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ آهٍ آهٍ آه. Three times he cried out, ah, ah, ah. A heavy sigh came from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. ثُمَّ وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ. And then he actually hit himself upon his head, upon his face. فقال. And then the Imam said, قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ حَقُّ الْوَلَدْ عَلَىٰ وَالِدِهِ إِذَا كَانَ ذَكَرًا أَنْ يَسْتَفْرَهُ أُمَّهُ. There is a right of the walad, this the child upon the father, if it is born as a male, that it should honor his mother. وَيَسْتَحْسِنُ إِسْمَهُ. And that you should seek a good name for the child. Listen to the hadith very carefully. Imam says, وَيَسْتَحْسِنُ. there should be a bahath, there should be seeking out the right name for your son. Not simply just choosing it, but it's actually going out to find something. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيُطَهِّرُهُ. And you have to teach him the book of Allah and purify him. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ السَّبَاحَ. And teach him swimming. Now, whether it's literally swimming or it's a type of sport that would give him strength, capacity, discipline, there can be discussion on this, but you can see the principle of what the Imam alayhi salam is saying. These are the huquq of a son, specifically. وَإِذَا كَانَتْ أُنْثَى. And if you have a daughter, and يَسْتَفْرِهُ أُمُّهَا. She, it should be that there is honor for her mother. You have to go out and make sure that this is an honor for her mother. وَيَسْتَحْسِنُ إِسْمُهَا. And you have to seek a good name for her. You have to make sure you try hard to search for the right name for this particular child. وَيُعَلِّمُهَا سُورَةَ النُّورِ. And you should teach her chapter number 24 of the Quran, Surah An-Nur. And the hadith also continues. أَمَّا إِذَا سَمَّيْتَهَا فَاطَمَةً. But if you've named your daughter Fatima, subhanAllah. Can you see, for a male and a female, generally there are certain huquq, which are equal for everyone. You have to make sure that these are the huquq for generally, whether you have a daughter or a son. But if you have a daughter which is named Fatima, there is an extra set of huquq upon you as parents. It's not ordinary name. It's not like any other name. It's even above the name Zainab. It's above the name Maryam. Whatever other name there is in all of the world, if you've named your daughter Fatima, there is an extra set of huquq and duties that are upon you and I. أَمَّا إِذَا سَمَّيْتَهَا فَاطِمَةً فَلَا تَسُبُّهَا وَلَا تَلْعَنْهَا وَلَا تَذْرُبُهَا. You are not permitted. Do not abuse her in any way. Do not curse her and do not strike her at all. Think about this as a question. Is this because it's simply a daughter? From one perspective, all daughters have that right. Can you abuse your daughter? No. Can you strike at your daughter? No, but why mention this in particular to the name Fatima? Because there is something so beloved to Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam about this name. It has above and beyond duties that are in accordance with it. If you've chosen to name your daughter Fatima, then understand the extent of what is upon your shoulders with that name Fatima. In no way can you harm her, abuse her. In no way can you lower the esteem of that person because she is linked to whom? To the wilaya, the authority, the love of Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamu alayha. Can you see how Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam has spoken about this name? It's not ordinary. Many of us think that when we're having a child, a son or a daughter, and we're raising our children, that these are very easy parts of the process. Actually, if you notice it, maybe these become some of the heaviest parts of the entirety of our duties. If we can't get the foundations right of why I'm bringing a child into the world, how I'm going to name her, how I'm going to address her, understanding that there is a spiritual dynamic, even to her name, that is beyond my understanding. If I can't get these things right, then the foundations are very, very weak. These are the duties that are upon us, and there are many, many other ahadith I could have brought to you in regards to this name. When we are raising our children, particular Fatimas, we have to keep these sorts of narrations in mind. Okay. So in the hadith I just mentioned, there was a particular point that the Imam says. Regarding a male or a female, وَيَسْتَحْسِنُ إِسْمُ. You have to not just give her a good name or give him a good name. وَيُحْسِنُ إِسْمُهُ. No, Imam said, in the Arabic language, this is key, he said it, يستحسن. You have to seek it. You have to go out of your way to search it. You have to find it. It infers diligence in this matter. When you're naming the child, there is some diligence that goes into this process. It's not simply picking a name out of the hat. Now, I know nobody does that, but everybody sort of, the father normally has chosen name preferences, the mother has chosen names, maybe that they want to name it after their grandparent or something of that nature. These are all excellent things. But the imam is saying something deeper than simply, my grandfather was named, or my great-grandfather, or I'm from this particular city, and this is, there's something deeper going on for the Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Please open your Qur'ans to chapter number 19, Surah Maryam, from the beginning of the surah, from verse number 4-5 onwards. I mentioned to you in the introduction that not only do Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam demand from us this practice of genuinely seeking out a good and right name, it is the sunnah of the Anbiya and Mursaleen alayhim as-salam that they find a name and that they find a goal for their child that is particular to the challenges of the time and the challenges that are going to be ahead of the child's time. You understand? There are certain challenges today. There are many challenges in the community, internally and externally. You might think about the challenges regarding LGBTQ problems, you might think about the poverty, you might think about ignorance, you might think about infighting within the Muslim Ummah, whatever. You see a particular problem. You and I want to plug that gap. We want our child to help in the fight, in the overcoming of that particular challenge. It is from the sunnah of the Anbiya in the Quran to locate, to highlight the challenges of their time, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child that has the capacity and the means to overcome that particular problem that you are hoping to be able to overcome and defeat. Have a read of the surah with me, inshallah. Start from verse number 4 or 5. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Zakaria. He's making a statement to Allah about his dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال ربي إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا. My Lord, my bones have become weak and my hair has flared up. My Lord, I have never been unsuccessful to you in my dua. I have complete trust. This is the way I'm talking to you, my Lord. Everything I've asked for you from you before has come. Now I'm going to ask you something huge. You've never let me down before. Therefore, I have absolute certainty that you will not let me down. Now, what is the situation? Verse number 5. Please read this ayah and really understand what is going on in these ayat. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. Break the ayah into three parts. Inni khiftul mawaliya min wara'i. I fear my cousins after me. What is the meaning of this? Zakaria alayhi salam at that time did not have a son. When a prophet dies, prophet wants an inheritor to be able to take on the duties of nabuwah after him. To protect his ummah, to protect the deen of Allah. Correct? When you and I pass away, we want a child after us to look after the community even better than we have tried to look after the community. Correct? Can you imagine the expectation upon the shoulders of a prophet? So he fears his cousins after him. Why? Because they were not good people. They would have stolen the mantle of prophethood, the duties of the leadership in the ummah of the time, and they would have completely destroyed the foundations of everything Zakaria alayhi salam had sought his life to build. We all know this, even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, you remember in the narration, what does he fear? He fears after him that there will be corrupt people that become the leaders of the ummah after him. He even has dreams about people from Banu Umayyah and Banu Marwan, monkeys climbing on his pulpit and speaking, correct? This is mentioned in all books of narrations, sunnatan wa shi'atan. Zakariya alayhi salam has this fear as well. So he says, my Lord, what is my problem? I see that there is a particular issue that's occurring right now within the community. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. Now what is the issue? I am very elderly, Zakariya says. وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. And also my wife has gone past childbearing age. She can't have a child either. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. Therefore, gift to me an heir. Is this child an accessory? Is it something for Instagram? Is it something to dress up cutely only? Is that the purpose? No. Gift to me an heir. Someone who can take over the duties after me and ensure that no corruption enters into the ummah after me. That's what I want a son for. And not only do I want it, fahabli. You see, in the Arabic language, we're saying Allah is al-wahhab. We're calling upon the spiritual gifter of things to us. Fahabli, gift to me, a spiritual gift, not just a physical gift. Yes, I need the physical element. I am very elderly. My wife cannot bear a child. So the physical I need you to take care of. But more important is what? The spiritual side of this child. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ. From you. From whom? From whom? From Allah. Do you see? He didn't say, gift from me. You see, if I bring a child into this world, it's going to come with all the shortcomings that I have. Whereas if I'm able to ask for a child from whom? From Allah, Allah's involvement in the spiritual making of that child is completely different than if it is left to my low, low spirituality or our spirituality. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. I want an heir, someone who can take over these duties after me. Skip to verse number 12. You will see now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Yahya alayhi salam a particular set of qualities. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Yahya, khudil kitaba bi quwwa. Oh Yahya, take hold of the book, not just with strength, but you speak with the book with seriousness and strength. You make yourself strong in the way in which you're going to speak. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. And we gave him wisdom whilst he was child. Think about this very carefully. Let's say you have a child. What was the problem with Zakariya? Zakariya said, in the community, the problem is what? My cousins are going to take over after me. Zakariya is very elderly. Let's just pick a number and say he is 80. So his cousins are going to be of similar age, 60 years old, 50 years old, adults. If a child comes and starts speaking about the deen of Allah, about the book of Allah, is a 50-year-old man going to take him seriously? Yes or no? Ordinarily, yes or no? No. What qualities would a child need in order to be able to speak to the powerhouses of his time? The elders of the time, the leaders of the time, the heads of the tribe of the time, the heads of the community. Can he be soft? No. Can he speak very meekly and quietly? Can he be on the back foot? What does he need? He needs to speak with jazm, with strength. He needs to be able to speak with wisdom and insight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him these qualities. Ya Yahya, khud al-kitaba bi quwwa wa ataynahu al-hukma sabiyya. Allah gave him the qualities that were needed to respond to the challenges of the time. Can you see that? The dua is, there's a shortcoming, there's a problem in the community. My Lord, you fill the gap through my child So who gives him the qualities? Who gives that child the qualities? Zakaria or Allah? Allah Jalla Jalalahu gives the qualities that are needed to respond to the dua. Needed to respond to the challenges of the time. What else does he have as qualities? Wahanan and min ladunna. You see, it's not only that he is strong. That's what's needed when you're a prophet. It's what's needed when you're a leader. But you can also be very tender and soft-hearted because these are also qualities that are needed with leadership. وَحَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا وَزَكَاتًا وَكَانَتْ تَقِيَّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْنِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. Look at the qualities one by one by one by one. Why would Allah give Yahya alayhi salam these qualities? To respond to the needs of the time. When you and I see that there are needs of the time, whatever the aspiration is for the child before we bring the child into the world, or even after we brought the child into the world, the task, the sunnah of the Anbiya is what? To place the nurturing of that child spiritually in the hands of whom? Min ladunka, with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of what? The challenges of the time that we find ourselves. This is the sunnah of the prophets. Open the Quran to chapter number 17. Surat Al-Isra. Verse number 4 and 5. Our beautiful Qari just recited these ayat before the muhadara began. Incredible. And for him, we should recite a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Look at one of the challenges of the time. When you bring a child into this world and you're raising this Fatima, inshallah, what do you want them to achieve? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَقَذَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. We have made it known, judged, decided that this is the case. We've made it known to the children of Israel in the book. Most surely you will make grievous mischief in the world on two occasions. The second of which, maybe, we are faced with now, with the illegal and illegitimate Zionist entity. What will they do? وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. You will act with great insolence. Mass murder, genocide, corruption of hearts and minds and souls. Not ordinary. When Quran, Allah has to testify to عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, it is not an ordinary facade fil ardh. But now there are going to be people who come and overturn that great insolence. Verse 5. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. There are going to be people, أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, powerful, strong, dutiful, capable of overturning that facade fil ard. Subhanallah. They're going to be people of mighty prowess. فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. This is something that Allah promises you is going to occur. Imagine bringing a child into this world and just naming her something fancy because it's a fancy name. It's a zina of a name. Or imagine saying to Allah, there is this evil in the world. Occupied Arabia, Mecca and Medina is occupied. I want my child to be amongst those that frees Medina al-Munawwara from their hands. Al-Quds is occupied. Mass murder, genocide. I want my child. That's their cause. I want them to be at the forefront, to hand the flag over to the Imam. Fahabli milladunka. Can you see the difference in the way in which you would bring a child about in this world? Raising a million Fatimas can be like this. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. It's a hadith where he says, "A'rafu al-nasi bil-zamani لَمْ يَتَعَجَّبْ مِنْ أَحْدَاثِهِ. The one who knows best the times in which he lives in, challenges of his time, will not be surprised by the events, will not overcome by the events therein. If you understand what's going on in your world, if you understand these are the challenges of the time, you won't be defeated by them. Our child, however, is vulnerable. He or she is still very young. Imagine knowing the challenges of today or what's coming tomorrow, and then dedicating that child to being able to overcome that, to fight that, to defeat that in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his deen, in the name of the Imam of our time. You don't have to wait until you bring a child into this world. If you have a child now, you can still make that dua. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. I want a wali, someone who's going to take over this challenge on my behalf. I can't do it all. I'm one person. My life is now ending. I'm becoming slower. I'm becoming weaker. I leave it to those I'm bringing up to be able to take it on. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. Raising a million Fatimas. Imagine for a moment in our community, up and down this land, that every time now we brought a child into this world, we started with this perspective. We thought deeply about what the challenges were of our time. We wanted our children to be not only protected by those problems, but to be having the power and the qualities and the diligence to overcome them. And then gifting that to that child through the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine what we would raise, what generation we would raise in the next 5 years? When we say we can raise a million Fatimas, just the name itself can dispense with the shayateen. Imagine raising them with the qualities of Fatima alayhi salam. Imagine raising them with the capacity, a glimpse of the Fatima alayhi salam. It's not an easy task. But if we put these processes in place, if we understand the duties that are upon us, if we understand the power that this name brings with it, and the way in which the sunnah is to be able to prepare a child, then inshallah we will be able to raise this army of Fatimas that are able to make such a drastic change in the world and bring about the coming of our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif. I want you to imagine this particular child, this daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and how much she loved the Prophet. In the last ayah I wanted to show you was chapter number 37, Surah As-Safat, verse 102. You will see that wherever Ibrahim alayhi salam went, Ismail went to the same place. Ismail watched Ibrahim, learned from Ibrahim. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. When Ismail attained to an age where he could work with his father, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I see in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. What is your opinion? Do as you have been commanded. You will find me, inshallah, amongst the patients. The reason why there was such proximity between Ismail and Ibrahim alayhim as-salam was because wherever Ibrahim went, Ismail followed and learnt, saw him, watched him, participated with him. If Ibrahim gave charity, Ismail alayhi salam as a child watched it, learned it. If Ibrahim alayhi salam gave advice, held his anger, learned how to deal with the challenges, Ismail watched alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ سَعْيَ. In the same way, when Fatima alayhi salam was growing up, everything she did, she watched her father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, do. Imagine how close they were. If the Prophet was sitting and Fatima alayhi salam walked into the masjid, the Prophet would stand up and seat her in his own place. Not next to him, in the place of the Prophet. What does that mean? What does that mean if you sit in the place of the Prophet himself? What is the Prophet indicating? You are in my place. You are in my place. And the same would occur. If Fatima alayhi salam was sitting and the Prophet would come in, she would get up and then she would seat him in her place. Why? Because whilst you are here, Ya Rasulullah, there's no one else for me in my place but you. Can you imagine the love, the proximity, what Fatima alayhi salam watched and learnt and picked up from her father in all of these movements in her 18 years of life with him? Can you imagine the grief and the pain and the suffering she feels in the moments before the Prophet is passing away from this world? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is lying on the lap of Lady Fatima alayhi salam. He is in and out of this realm now. His soul is soon to depart from his beautiful body. And with that will come the end of revelation. The end of prophethood will come with that. What happens? According to one narration, as the Prophet is resting with his eyes closed, taking a moment for himself to nap before he passes, gaining some strength maybe to open his eyes, there is a knock at the door of the house of Fatima. She turns towards that door and addresses it and says, "O person, my father, he has just fallen asleep. He has just managed to take some rest. Please leave. Please do not disturb him." A few minutes later, there is another knock on the door. Again, Fatima alayhi salam addresses the door. She says, "O person, did I not tell you to leave? My father is too weak and too tired to be able to answer your questions. Please come back another time. Come back another day when the Prophet has some strength, when we have ability to help you." There is a third knock at the door. And this time, Fatima cannot address the door. The pain is overcoming her. Tears are flowing from her eyes. It is said that those tears fall upon the face of the Prophet. He wakes up from his rest. He says, "O Fatima, why are you crying? Your father has not left you. Your father is still with you. Why are you crying like this?" She says, "There is someone knocking at the door. He will not leave. I have tried to sway him, but he continues to try to disturb." The Prophet responds by saying, "This is no ordinary person that has come. This is the angel of death. But he has respected you and your door so much, O Fatima, that he cannot enter your house without your permission. So he is asking you, can he enter into this house to take my soul from me, because my time has come?" We will say to you, Ya Rasulullah, this is the respect that is there for the door of Fatima. But what was going to happen in the days and the weeks immediately after your death? We are told that after the death of Fatima alayha, after the death of the Prophet, it was the angel Jibra'il Amin that used to descend regularly to be able to give condolences, to be able to give some warmth to the heart of Fatima. And these are the moments in which break her heart. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.